said, I don't know. I don't know. We didn't leave. We just, I forgot God's doing something, and I guess we're going to have to sacrifice. And, you know, God, he sometimes makes you go sacrifice. You know, that's the way he is. And she said, have you thought about Grace Chapel? I said, where is it? She told me, and I'm thinking, well, like you're supposed to do when you're a visitor, right? You know, some of us are still on the back row, you know, on the right, and sat down, and 10 minutes later, Teresa and I looked at each other and said, oh, thank you, Lord. Now we know. And it's been that way for us the last 6 years we've been here. I guess we're starting our seventh year. And it's an exciting place for us to do like what James just said, be a part of people really diving into their faith and working it out imperfectly. And we're just seeing God move. And I'll bet several of us have the same kind of story of we just kind of showed up. So we're glad you're here. Thanks a lot for being here.
Good. Well, I'm James Brown. I want to thank John and Diana for hosting this. They do a great job. And my story is a lot like Kurt's. As is, like Kurt said, I've heard a lot of people have very similar stories. I grew up in South Alabama. We lived there 45 years. And we were plugged in, had been, you know, we were just, you know, we've been in business for ourselves a long time, knew a lot of people. And our daughters had gone to school at Belmont. And we had discovered Nashville from visiting them, coming up, visiting their school. And it's like, it was very easy because we, both of us knew at the same time that this is really, this area is where we needed to be. So we felt like God was pretty persistent in that for several weeks. And we said, well, you know, I couldn't imagine pulling up and leaving after you lived there 45 years. And it's one thing to just change churches or change jobs, but to just uproot and move 300 miles away, 400 miles away. So we did, in 08, put our house up on the market. The market was already horrible down there. Put our house up on the market, got a full price offer. Who does that? Wow. I'd never even heard of that. It's like they didn't even offer less. But anyway, we had several things we had to sell to get up here. I told friends we were moving, and I figured it would be 2 years. You get all that stuff sold. You can't just, 2 months later, everything was sold. And I don't mean I gave it away. I mean, like, because I wouldn't give it away.
So how much did you make? We'll be teaching on stewardship next week.
Two months later,
turn the recorder off.
We decide we're moving. 2 months later, we're in a rental house on 96. It's like, so I'm like, what in the world? My head's still spinning. It's like, what in the world happened?
Gosh.
You know, you saw God. What are you doing? Ron Gonzer's story. He's an elder. He's on staff here. His story is very similar too. God told him to move from California here, and it's like in no time he's here, and he's like, okay, God. Why did you send me here? What am I doing here? So we buy property across the street, so we're building a house. But we're driving like 10 miles to go to church. And I didn't know what this was across the street. I know that sounds ridiculous, especially, you know, but we literally living across the street, we still didn't know what this was over here. So we've discovered that it was a church, or my wife discovered that it was a church, so we came over and visited. And the first service, we set up in the balcony. It was the first service that Steve had gone to three services. So, you know, he had an 8 o'clock service or whatever. And he spoke really hard on homosexuality that day. And I leaned over and I told my wife, I said, he won't be needing that third service very long. but that's why. I came from a church where
I'm gonna take your badge away.
You don't hit hard. You know, you kind of throw out a broad net. you don't offend anybody so that you can get more people in so that hopefully they will hear the gospel. And it's like, well, that's not exactly Steve's. Steve is like Steve. Steve will say, you know, he just lays out whatever God's got on his heart. And he said, people just keep coming anyway. I think if the church trickled down to 10 people, he would fully understand, because, you know, why it has no crowd. But in Steve's case, God just keeps pouring them in, and he's just like, thank you, God. You know.
That's why I love him so much. I feel like he speaks the truth, and that doesn't matter.
That's Steve. Yeah. That's Steve.
I mean, he loves you, but he still wants to speak the truth of the Bible to make sure, you know, it's okay.
That's him.
He has to.
And it is scary. When you listen to him, you're like, oh, my gosh, did he just say that? Right. Right.
I've said that more than once. Well, even that Sunday, you know, it's like, holy smoke, really?
We had a speaker here.
That's right.
On the platform, I think, from California in the movies and stuff, and he was homosexual.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, after hearing that, we knew, you know, this is it. You know, this is the church for us, without a doubt. We knew we were in the right place. And then for the next, let's say, well, that was in 2010. Up until last Sunday, every service, you know, you leave going, man, that was the best sermon I've ever heard.
Mm.
You know, y'all do that? You know, everyone, you go, man, that was good. I don't remember doing that much at the church I came from. Anyway, that's a whole other story. So God's voice. You know, God spoke to me and told me to divorce my wife and marry a younger woman. Because after all, God wants you to be happy, right? True or false? You know, I heard that. I heard that from somebody that had been in church 25 years and had led most of their family to the Lord. And that came out of their mouth. God will never, ever, ever speak to you something that's contrary to his written word. Ever. Just remember that. If you don't get anything else out of this class, just remember, God will never speak something to you that is contrary to his written word. That's not even a number, but blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my door, waiting at my doorway. Whoever finds me and receives favor from the Lord. You know, I think what happens a lot of times when we feel like we're not hearing from the Lord, or we don't feel like we're hearing what God's speaking to us, is that we're not waiting on him, as that says. We're not waiting at his door. We're not trying to listen to the Lord. You know, we're busy, 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 working, doing our thing, reading the word sometimes, praying sometimes, but we seldom ever stop long enough to be quiet long enough to actually hear anything. You know, it's hard for God to speak to you to where you can hear it. Not that he's not speaking, but sometimes it's hard for you to hear it if you're busy, busy, busy. And you're not. You have to stop. There's an exercise that you'll do in steps two. Is that what they call it? Or next steps? The next one you'll take after this class, where you just take an exit. You know, you just pray. It's not hard. You just pray, God, if you got anything for me, if you'll speak to me, I'm open. I'm willing to receive. And there's about three of you praying that. And you just wait, and you hear from the Lord. It is shocking to most everybody that does that exercise. What comes out of your mouth seems very random, but what this person hears is very specific. And it's very simple, but nothing said here from God has to be complicated. And it's usually not complicated. If you are one of those people that feels like God's not speaking to you, or God hasn't spoken to you in a long time, then I would ask myself, well, how much time am I spending pursuing him? How much time am I spending, like that says, waiting at the door and watching for him and purposefully trying to hear from him and listening to him? Hmm. The good news is that God does speak. That's number one. I finally got to number one.
Good.
45 minutes later, I'll be through. Jesus affirmed. Are you filling in the blanks? Jesus affirmed the reality that God speaks.
Yeah. Number three, speaking is a specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. A specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. Is that exciting? I mean, think about this. We have a really good steps class just on the Holy Spirit that James and I have done together, and I really like that one. You know, the purpose, obviously, of these is just to kind of get us all on the same page. This doesn't mean that Grace Chapel has a corner on all knowledge, we believe this is, but the purpose is for us to all go, okay, let's take this subject, think about it, study it together, and come away as kind of a collective, this is what we believe. And we believe very, very specifically regarding the specific ministry of the Holy Spirit. And one of those is speaking is a specific ministry. So we need to be, like James said, just listening. And I know all of us have 100 stories and testimonies right now about how God has spoken specifically. I looked at your notes. Can I tell that story? Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you don't, I will. And it's your story.
Okay. Is it okay if I tell it? One Sunday, I know all of us need to stand up and literally say, yeah, let me tell you what God has told me lately and how he's directed me. But one particular Sunday, we invited a couple that we had been in church with before. Teresa and I invited them, and they came. And they were hurt and grieving over some relationships at that church and whatever. And I knew that he was really grieving. As men use those words, you know. He was mad, right? He was really, really angry, which I knew he was just really hurt. But he would never say that. So they come in. Oh, my gosh, God, I can't believe they've shown up. They come in from the back, and I see him, and I'm going toward him, and I'm thinking, man, he's mad. And he walks, and he says, who's in charge of this traffic out here? And I went, well, I don't think anybody is, quite frankly. And he said, how could you all have built a church out on such a small country road? And I said, I don't know. Can we just sit down? You know, and I thought, oh, gosh, this is, Lisa's here, and his wife is just precious. And so they sat down, and I'm going to sit with them, but Steve says, could you sit next to Sarah? So, you know, when the Pope says, sit next to Sarah. So I go up and sit next to Sarah. And I know, and I'm praying for, let's call him, you know, John and his wife. And they're three rows back right here, and I can feel the steam just coming from him. He's coming up with every reason why this is not the place for him to be. And I'm praying. And I'm just praying. Lord, you know, just help him today. He doesn't have to come to church here. That's cool. But, man, he just needs to... He's just hurt from some relationships. I hope he doesn't say no to church and community. Steve starts preaching. I'm next to Sarah. It's all good. And then Steve comes to my left, that side, my left, and he all of a sudden kind of does his thing. Later, he and I have talked about this in depth because I said, what happened? He said, I'm standing there preaching, and Steve goes, sir, can I talk to you for a minute? And I'm going, no Lord, whoever sir is can't be John, right? Because this will be, he'll either, security, you know, this is going to be over. I mean, he'll never come back to church again. And I look back and I'm, oh, no, Steve, you know. And Sarah goes, what's wrong? I said, I'll tell you in a minute. And he said, sir, I just want to tell you something. And he begins to speak to him specifically about his heart, about him being broken. And he said, God's got a plan for you. And literally reads his mail without total specific, you know. And I'm just, and then Sarah leans over and said, did he do okay? And I said, wait till I tell you. You have no idea what just took place. I couldn't wait for the service to be over. I go back. He's sitting there crying. And he looks up and he said, how did you tell him to talk to me like that? I said, God loves you so much. The ministry, speaking is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. God, zero it in. And for that day, and they've been here ever since, and he doesn't complain about parking. he thinks South Hall has mysteriously widened out. You know, there's six lanes. All right, number four. They're going to kill us. They're going to kill you. But number four, God wants to speak to us today, in this class. I want you to literally, as you're writing down today, I want you to say, Lord, do you have anything to say to me today? I'm saying that right now. Lord, is there something you need to reveal to me about Teresa, my children, my Lord? And number five, God speaks in different general ways. I get that one right. You know, it had my name on it. You get that? No, you get that. Okay. Yours, James.
I'm just wondering, do we have different?
No, I know. I'm stalling.
One thing I'll say back to it, Steve's word for that guy was not really so much correctional as it was affirming,
You're
right?
Exactly right. Right. You're exactly right.
Might have required security.
You're exactly right.
But obviously God knew that. So anyway, God speaks in different specific ways, as we're talking about now. And he can speak to you in an audible voice. I don't know that I've ever had God speak to me in an audible voice. Some people say he does. I've never had that so much. I have had several times. and probably he would do it every day if I was more receptive as to taking my own advice. But I have heard from him, and I knew it was him, it's one of these, when you just know, you just know God's saying something to you, and you're not hearing it specifically. I was in a worship service. We were having worship at another church. My daughter had dated a guy one time. They'd gone out one time. And in the middle of the worship, I just felt God say, they're going to get married. And I thought, that's kind of weird. Isn't that kind of weird? They've only went out one time. And I leaned over and told my wife, BJ, I said, I just felt like God, and this is not like anything it's not like this happens a lot. I said, I just felt like the Lord said, Molly and Luke are getting married. And she goes, okay. And it was just one of those things. It's just like, I don't know why he did that. I guess, I don't know why he did that. Anyway, they dated about a year. They've been married 10 years now. And it was just one of those odd things that God just kind of laid on your heart. I knew the whole time they were dating that they were going to get married. So when Luke came and asked me for her hand, it wasn't a surprise. Maybe God knew that I was going to have, I needed the warning. Maybe I wouldn't have handled it well. I don't know. God speaks through angelic revelation. Maybe y'all have had that. I've never known that I was spoke to by an angelic revelation before. By impressions. this is... Yeah, it's not a number. They don't have numbers. We'll have to...
Yeah, we need...
Yeah.
Sorry.
It says impressions.
No, there's no blanks on my sheet here. So anyway, are we tracking?
Page 10.
Angel. Okay, then impressions. I'm sure y'all had this happen before. The one that stands out in my mind, we had all gone to the same restaurant every week after church, and one of the speakers was a retired colonel in the Air Force. Him and his wife, we loved him to death. And we all file in this restaurant, the same waitress, because we're a big table, and we always got the same waitress. And so we all file in again, same waitress. And we all get to the table except Rich is not there. And so the pastor looks at me and he goes, "What happened to Rich?" And I said, "I don't know. I don't know where he is." He goes, "Why don't you go see where Rich is?" So I went, and Rich, as he was filing by the, filing in, we passed the waitress. He said, "I just felt like the Lord." I said, I said, "Rich, what?" I go back there. I'm messing up my own story. The waitress is bawling, standing there. And he's just got his hand on her shoulder, and he's just praying with her. And I'm like, "Ooh, okay." So I go back and sit down. Rich comes to the table. I said, "Hey, what was that about?" He goes, "I don't know." He said, "I was just walking by. You know, I was at the end of the line, and as I walked by her, I just felt impressed that the Lord said, ask her, is there anything to pray about? Does she want prayer for anything?" And it was one of those times where she had prayed that she needed a word from the Lord. So he was submissive and attentive and listening.
Yeah.
And was able to do that, which made us all feel like heels, because it's like we've been coming to the same restaurant and we've never asked that waitress if she needed prayer, you know. But he was attentive enough to know that that was the Lord speaking, and he did, and great things came out of that.
Right.
God speaks through pictures, seeing a snapshot or a still image with eyes of the heart. God speaks through visions. We were at a church. A pastor brings a kid up. And this is, you don't have to be, it doesn't matter where you are in your walk as to how God can speak to you or if he will speak to you. So we're in this church. Pastor comes up. He's got the 17-year-old kid with him. He brought some kids with him from youth. From his church. And little kid says, we physically couldn't have any more kids. So he brings his little kid up to me, 17, and he's nervous, and he says, "I'm so-and-so." And Matthew. And he said, I was sitting in church, and I just felt like the Lord told me, he said, "I felt like the Lord gave me a vision of you and your wife holding a baby boy in the nursery of a hospital." And I'm like, whatever. We weren't adopting. We didn't feel like we needed to be adopting. So I thought, okay, thank you. Thank you for that. Pat him on the head, send him back. And didn't think anything about that. Really basically forgot about that. But that was about 5 years after our second daughter was born. And about 2 years after that, we had a son. And it was after that whole process that BJ said, "Remember that boy prophesying that to you?" So we named our son Matthew. She says, "Do you remember him prophesying that to you years ago?" And I'm like, "Oh, you've got to be kidding." It's like the kid's 17. But he saw a vision. He felt like he saw a vision. And he felt like it was adamant enough that he's going to come up to a total stranger and share it. So anyway, that was just a cool example of a vision, that somebody had for you that turned out to be spot on. And he turned out to be relatively immature in his Christian walk. And that's not required for God to be able to speak to you, is my point. In a trance. I've been in many trances. I don't remember ever hearing the Lord speak to me in any of my trances. In dreams. My wife and I had started, we were thinking of going into a business years ago. And it was different, totally different. And I was nervous about it. And one of the elders in the church came up to me and he said, "Hey," he said, "I had a dream about you and BJ last night." I said, "Really?" And it's funny because this is like, these are Baptist people. These aren't, you know on, you know,
that's
we're tracking.
Enough said.
Okay. So I had a dream about you and BJ last night. I said, what was that? He goes, I dreamed that y'all, I saw y'all walking, and you were walking up toward a cliff, and you were about to walk off of a cliff. And he said, I don't know what that means. That's weird, isn't it? I said, okay, I know exactly what it means. Because we're praying about this business venture that was, it required us moving to Asheville, North Carolina, years and years and years ago. Well, that business wound up filing bankruptcy. So anyway, his dream was very relevant for us. I knew exactly what it was. Thank God that he speaks. Sometimes we need, you know, we have to be spoken to through other people sometimes. Maybe we're too hard-headed to hear directly. He can speak to you through scriptures. How many times have you been reading and you've read the Bible and heard it many, many, many times, and all of a sudden a verse leaps off the page? It's like, I've never seen that before. God, did you put that in here? I've read that. It happens a lot. God just reveals something to you, and it'll leap off the page as if it was never there before. And it happens the same way with sermons. You can hear the same sermon from the same pastor 1,000 times, and all of a sudden tomorrow or today, you know, you'll hear it, and it'll be like Kurt's friend. That was for specific. Well, his was specifically for him, but a generalized sermon can be specific for you that day. And you just know that God was speaking directly to you. And he is. But only you and God know, because nobody else will know what you're hearing.
You know, I do quiet time Monday through Saturday at 10 o'clock, no matter what I'm doing. I bring my Bible with me if I'm going somewhere. I drop everything and I do my 25 to 30 minutes of quiet time. Huh. And I'll tell you how many times it relates to what's going on in my life, or like the sermon, or like the pressing place. We saw that at the, you know, Good Friday. And then, sure enough, my next readings are Matthew and Mark. So how much that vision in my mind played when I was reading, and how much more it meant to me. It's like God puts before you in the scripture what you kind of need.
It's amazing.
It's good.
And it's true.
It's good. Yeah. Are we okay with all this? You know, just, you know. We got 5 minutes. We're going to not get finished. They are in the Bible. You know, I want to, God speaks our language. He speaks our, when you saw that whole list that James ran through, impressions, trances, the prophetic, intuitive, rational, all these. I asked these, some guys recently, how does God speak to you? And, you know, didn't say anything for a while, and finally said, well, kind of speaks to me usually when. And so we had about 6 different guys say, well, usually, and none of those, the way God speaks to those guys, I never have those things happen. So as you hear James talk about a dream, or don't leave here going, no, he speaks our language. He speaks to me in a language that I understand. He speaks to me disruptively. I know when I hear him because he changes the way I'm thinking. I'll get it. So he speaks the language I like. I like to hear disruption. I don't see dreams except. So, I he speaks our language. And, you know, we spend so much of our life trying to figure out what his language is. Well, you know, Lord, I'll pay my tithes. I'll do really good so I can hear you. And he says, in the very first thing that James says, he says, bless the man who listens to me daily. He speaks daily, right? Speaks daily in your language. So I bet we're going to pray in a minute or so that when we leave here today, that we'll begin to hear more and more in your language from him. All right, let's get the blanks. I've only got a few, and then James. All right, number one, God's word is the standard. God's word is the divine expression of God. We should be flogged for not going into these. Number two, God's word upholds all things.
God's word is profitable for knowing the Father. Obviously, how well can you know the Father if you don't read what he said about him? But anyway, number four, the word of God is truth.
Number five, the word of God is alive and powerful. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what, we can't trust our heart. I had a young guy recently, reminded me, come to my office, and he said, I want a divorce and all this good stuff, and I'm, no, and I said, how do you know? He said, I just feel it in my heart. And I said, you know, Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things, beyond cure. Who can understand it? Well, we just got the anecdote for understanding our heart, God's word. And number six, God's word stands forever.
We're going through TSA recently. A buddy of mine's behind me. He has his Bible in his suitcase. TSA agent opens up his, he said, I need to look through your suitcase. He said, sure. He opens it up. He sees, back up. He says, is there any, you have any weapons, any knives in your suitcase? He goes, just God's word. He said that now. He said, just God's word. And he opens up the suitcase, and Craig says, Bible says God's word sharper than a two-edged sword. Because he asked him, did he have any knives in the suitcase? Anyway, within seconds, he has an opportunity to pray with that TSA agent off to the side. Wow. So, anyway, a great example of his word being sharper than a two-edged sword and being able to share that. God's word causes us to be born again. God's word tells us that we must be born again, that we have to die to our corruptible self.
Yeah.
God's word causes us to grow. Obviously, reading his word is a huge part of your growth.
God's word is inerrant. I-N-E-R-R-A-N-T. Inerrant. And then number 10, God's word is reliable. Reliable.
God's word is attested to be God's word. One thing we used to have in this class is we had a guy that was just extremely well-versed in the history of Scripture, how we wound up with the Scriptures that we have, what the canon's all about. And it was so informative. I had never heard much of that stuff, but just being affirmed that God actually did assemble these Scriptures, if you can believe that. That this is really not only divinely put together, but after you hear how it was done, it also makes common sense as to it works. It wasn't contrary to what I could think about in my, you know, put it together. And God actually did that. It was revelation to me. Receive God's word, number one. God will communicate with anyone who will give attention to his voice, we've already said. And number two, position yourself to hear God's word, as we've talked about as well. Having a hearing ear. You mentioned, and I tell you, what you said is profound. Having a commitment to reading, to having a quiet time, to reading, and to praying. Not always just reading. I think sometimes if you just had quiet time and you said, Lord, thank you for all that you're doing. If you have anything you want to say to me, I'm here. And then you just not start daydreaming, but you just put yourself in a position of hearing. And because it's not really, he's not going to speak to you because you have eloquent prayers that go on, and you share with him how many scriptures you've memorized. All those things are good. But, you know, put yourself in a position of just hearing from the Lord. Reading scriptures is also paramount. But an exercise in hearing is, I don't know why, I mean, that seems to be the thought of the day. But be diligent in your commitment is the point. And you have to be responsive. You can't just believe the Lord is real. You can't just believe in God. You can't just believe in Jesus. People say, you know, they think they're good to go because they believe in the Lord. Well, Satan believes in the Lord. Satan knows Scripture better than you'll ever know the Scripture. So just, you know, you have to have a responsive life. You have to respond to what God's telling you. You have to respond to your call. You have to be respond. You can't just believe it and sit on it. Believing is not enough. If you haven't heard from the Lord lately, try to remember back to the last thing that God told you to do and do that. Perhaps that may be why he's not continuing to speak to you. You haven't been responsive in what he's already called you to do. So I would encourage you to do that. So, that's it. I'll turn it back over to John.
Good.
Please don't tell Myron we're 5 minutes over.
Yeah. He'll know anyway from this.
Just...